So now we come to chapter 9, which is about IT infrastructure planning for supply chain management. In the agenda, we are going to cover the IT infrastructure planning, networking, evaluating requirements and designing data center, how to plan an IT strategy in 5 steps, cloud computing in the supply chain, and finally, we will summarize the learning from the chapter. So, importance of IT infrastructure to supply chain management. A good supply chain operations happen because the people in charge of different aspects like sales, manufacturing, logistics, procurement and finance are effectively communicating. And this is true for every organization. The success of an organization is on the maturity of the people, the communication that you have within the team. Supply chain infrastructure consists of both the physical and informational assets required to run a supply chain. So physical and informational assets. Physical assets are the actual materials or services that are on offer. Information assets are basically the information, like bill of material or the product features or the variants, etc., that you have. So these are the assets for a supply chain system. Information technology systems enable and constrain the supply chain processes that a company deploys. So when you deploy a IT solution, or an IT system, it can enable the processes, and it can also constrain some of the processes, because the IT solution, when you implement, they have a bouquet of options or processes that they offer. So it, in some cases, it may open up the horizon. In some case, it can even constrain certain kind of processes. These assets will largely prescribe a supply chain's cost and service outcomes, as well as future success of the organization. So the IT infrastructure that you're going to invest in will decide, what is the kind of service level, what is the kind of sophistication or the features that you are going to get. Like, we talked about the statistical models, etc., that you can model, certain simulations, certain what if analysis that you can do. So some of these advanced studies will be available only in certain IT systems. So what you choose will basically decide the success of the organization in the future. Also, it will decide, whether you are able to scale up or grow this model, as your business grows. IT infrastructure has traditionally been associated with significant capital investment, as well as ongoing expenses for maintenance and upgrades. Planning is critical to ensure cost effectiveness as well as top service levels. So, though over the years the computing power and the system, the IT systems have become cheaper, but so has the computing power gone up, and the capacities of the information they can store, the speed of the processors, etc., they have gone up. Complexity of the kind of networks that you can operate with. Basically, it's a huge capital investment that you need to do, and you have to ensure that the solution that you're going to choose and implement is cost effective, and also it will provide top service levels to the organization and to your customers. IT infrastructure is no longer simply an electronic support system. So if I talk of my experience, when I joined the industry, we used to have certain computers which were located in a computer center, and there was the processing data, manufacturing data, inventory data, which used to be fed into the computer by punch cards, etc., or some tapes, and we used to only get some reports, and that's all we got to see of the IT system. So there will be some weekly report which will every week tell us what are the open orders in the system and how much has been supplied and what quantities are yet to be supplied, etc. Then we came to the customized system where we had a system developed as per our requirements. So we had a contract with a company which was actually writing the program screen by screen for every function within the organization. So this is pre-ERP era, and we had dumb terminals. That means not a personal computer or a laptop, but a dumb terminal which accesses the information, and you had to operate. So you can create sales orders, you can make works orders in the system, you can make the planning, and this is how the system grew. And then finally we went on to the ERP system, and then from one ERP system we went on to another ERP system. So what I'm trying to tell you is the initial system was something like it was a batch processing. You got a report every week, and it was more like a electronic typewriter in many cases. Or it did very simple functions. It did not add much of a value. But today, if you look at your ERP systems, etc., they are very highly sophisticated and complex systems which can add significant value. They also operate with a lot of algorithms, etc., which provide value-added information for management decisions. So a smart strategic plan focuses on solutions that have the potential to improve service levels while reducing the IT operations cost. So you need to select a solution which has a reasonable cost, but which actually adds a lot of value to the organization by way of improved service, by reducing your inventory, by improving your lead times, by improving the velocity of inventory through your organization. So that is what you need to aim for. Planning considers the future, anticipating what services your IT infrastructure will need to support based on overall business goals and implementation priorities. So when I talked about working with dumb terminals, etc., this was a very basic system. I mean, you could not access the system from outside your organization. There was a network which was hardwired, and you could use the IT system only within the premises. Then we came to the a customized system, which is still not the ERP system, but here you had a little more flexibility. You could access the system with personal computers, etc., and you could do it from within the organization. So even from your sales office, etc., you could do it. Today the ERP that you have, you are able to access it through the internet wherever you are. And the ERP that we use, I also have access to the ERP on my mobile phone. So that means if I don't have my laptop, I still can access my ERP system. I can look at the dashboards. I can even do certain transactions from my mobile phone. So this is the kind of upgradation or the development which is possible, and whichever solution you choose has to be scalable, and it should have a opportunity to grow. You should be able to upgrade your system. So like I said, today you can access from handheld devices. You can integrate your IT solution with your supplier, with your distributor, even with the point of sale retailers, etc. So one has to look at what is it that you're looking for in a IT solution. Accordingly, your infrastructure has to be set up, because if you make a choice which limits the expansion of your IT solution, then you may have to live with it. Many companies are even integrating the e-commerce facility now with their ERP system. So they have a e-commerce module and like you can you know, go to a e-commerce site and order this material, you have the option of also ordering this material directly from the company. The only thing is you cannot order every kind of a product. You will only be able to order the products which are supplied by that company. But this is the kind of a you know, upgradation which is possible with the you know, when you are going in for technology which can be scaled up. So where do we start? It is recommended that you should address three stages of the opportunity. What you need to stay up and running. So one is your existing business that's running at the moment. So your solution should support your current business. It should not disrupt your current business, and you should be able to continue to operate with equal efficiency. Number two is what you need to enhance or expand internal capabilities and service levels. So in terms of the capabilities like you know, the statistical forecasting algorithms, you know, certain warehouse management systems, very sophisticated systems are there, and you know, interfacing with your supplier, with your distributor or with your retailer, etc. So all these you know, facilities you need to look at. Then what you might need to transform your company, potentially dramatic changes to your current infrastructure or operations, models that could better position you for a long-term organizational health and profitability. So this is where we talked about, you know, access, you can access your ERP through handheld devices, or you know, you can interface it with other modules like e-commerce, etc. So in the past, companies did not have this kind of an option, but today if somebody wants to go for e-commerce, and rather than selling the product through a retailer, suppose they directly want to offer the products to the customers who are willing to place the order and make advance payment, then this is the kind of opportunity they can take. Also, one has to look at, you know, when you are looking at an IT solution, what is the kind of a flexibility it offers in terms of interfacing with different packages. To give an example, generally an ERP system encompasses all the functions of an organization. But the industry practice is that people, when it comes to HR, human resource management, they will go for a certain package. So what they do is they will deactivate the HR module in the ERP and they will interface a third-party module with your ERP system. Similar is the case with the CRM, the customer relationship management, where you will use a specialized package which is an industry standard today. So these things have to be considered when you are you know, selecting your IT infrastructure. So IT infrastructure planning should address everything required to provide necessary technology services to the internal and external colleagues and customers. So in our case, even, you know, because we are spread over many, many countries, even our sales executives who are in the field, so they are able to access the ERP system from wherever they are. And this is possible because of the infrastructure that we have and the solution that we have selected, which enables this kind of an access. So to do that, you need data. So understanding where you stand versus where you want to be helps identify the gaps that needs to be filled and opportunities to make the improvement. So maybe you already have an ERP system today and you want to upgrade your system, go in for a new system. So you need to know where you are at the moment and where exactly you want to go. So are you really looking for some radical changes, radical upgradation, certain capabilities which probably you don't have? So this clearly has to be understood. Reducing cost is vital. So you will need to carefully evaluate the potential financial and operational advantages of switching to a different methodology. Like I said, when you go for a very improved IT solution, then you are going to get some better facilities. So it could be IT infrastructure. So are you going to be reducing your cost? Today in the industry, we are using Skype or Microsoft Teams for communication. So in the good old days, we had to either message them or send them emails, etc. If there was something urgent, we had to make phone calls. And if you're making phone calls overseas, then you know the kind of a prohibitive cost there is to it. But today, we can speak to the overseas colleagues in any of the countries through the use of these tools. So you have to evaluate what are the financial and the operational advantages. So while you are investing money in setting up a system which is going to cost you, there is going to be a capital expenditure, etc., it is also going to give you a lot of operational advantage and cost advantage, because it is going to cut down on your communication requirement, etc. IT infrastructure planning is only as good as your follow-up. Your plan is a working document. It has no value unless you regularly compare the progress to the success benchmark you have established and make the necessary corrections to remain on course. So that means whatever benefits, what happens is when you are investing in an IT system, in an infrastructure or in a solution, you are shown a lot of benefits, and the company commits itself to this new solution to actually take advantage of the benefit which have been cited. One should not lose sight of these benefits, and you constantly need to benchmark whether you are getting those savings or not. So this is very important for the success. Otherwise, it can so happen that you have spent a considerable amount of money, and then at the end of it, you find that your inventory levels are not coming down, your speed to the market is not improving, your inventory velocity through your value chain has not improved, your service levels or your lead times have not improved. So if that happens, then the investment that you have made is not giving you the returns. So effective IT infrastructure planning enables your organization to apply new and emerging technologies to develop creative, cost-effective solutions to meet your short and long-term business goals. So we talked about the immediate goals, and one has to also look at the long-term goals. That means maybe 4 years, 5 years down the line, will your system be still upgradable? That means will you be able to take care of any technological advances which has happened in the meantime? It's not possible to predict all the technology changes that will come our way in the next several years. No matter how carefully you try to follow IT thought leaders and currently emerging trends. So many of the technologies we are using today, we never knew that we will have this kind of a technology. I remember in the good old days, if you wanted to have a video conference, we used to have a special room with the cameras and a very special system. We had to lease special data lines for this video conferencing facility, and you could do it only from that particular room. There was an operator required to manage the hardware and the software and things like that. And there were certain corporates which were providing the services. Today, as I said, you can have a video conference using Skype. You can have a video conference using Microsoft Teams, Cisco, the WebEx, or GoToMeeting. There are so many solutions available which are very, very cost effective. So these things were never visualized. So we understand that today when we are talking of, say, 5 years down the line, it may be difficult to visualize what will be the kind of facility or technology which may exist at that point of time. But we must make an effort to invest in a company where they will be sustainable, they will be around, and who will be able to supply the latest which is available, by which we can exploit the markets, or the business can grow using those technologies. So it has become obvious that across all industries, every aspect of business operations and management will rely more heavily on IT than ever before. And we have seen this, that when you go to the e-commerce platform, there is no human interface. You are selecting the products, you are ordering the products, you even can track the product, and there is no human interface. In a lot of companies also, or even you talk of the insurance companies or investment companies, you make a phone call, it's a interactive voice response system, which will guide you to various options and provide solutions, etc. So we are slowly going the Western way, where the manpower, you know, is being eliminated, and you have an automated kind of a system which is available 24/7. Come to networking. So network vulnerabilities and reliability issues can prevent your data from moving efficiently and can even hinder productivity in your office. So it is essential to plan ahead to provide a network infrastructure that is fast, efficient, able to scale quickly, and also affordable. So network is the key. Now, I keep giving example of my organization, where we have a cloud-based system. It's Microsoft Azure, located somewhere in Europe or USA. And across the company, across 25 nations, we all have access to the ERP system. Now, if the network is not working, then we will not be able to access our system. And this has happened a couple of years ago. It happened to be the last day of the year. The financial year was about to end, and something went wrong. The local network connectivity provider, his network went down because of some major hiccup. And imagine, it was the last day of the month, we were last day of the year, we were supposed to clock certain sales, we were supposed to meet our targets, and frantically we were trying to book the sales, and we find that the network is not there, we cannot use the system. And everything is dependent. So even the production, if you produce the material, you cannot log the material into the system because you don't have the network, so you cannot access the ERP system. So network is very, very important. And you require a very, very fast network, efficient network, a reliable network, because you cannot afford to have this kind of stoppages or disruptions in the network. Fast and efficient, because even in my kind of organization, many a times we are exchanging information in the form of huge files. So in the olden days, if somebody sent a big attachment, then you found that your system suddenly slowed down and that your mails took longer to actually reach the recipient. But today, the kind of solutions we have with the instant messaging, with the Skype, and with all the solutions, you find that even if you are sending a attachment of a few megabytes or even a gigabyte or so, the system is still able to handle it quite well. And even video calls, etc., the bandwidth is excellent. So you need to ensure this, that your network is capable of handling this kind of a load. As with the most complex technologies, there is no one fits all. So no one size fits all solution in networking. The need and the resource of each company will lead to a different set of networking solutions, and you need to carefully consider the current infrastructure layout and the future requirement to determine the optimal network design for your situation. So again, we come to the size of your business, the geographical spread of your business, the number of users, the kind of a speed that you require, how much interface with the external networks that it has. So these will decide the solutions that you should be looking for. Are you planning to build a LAN or a WAN or a CAN infrastructure? So the scale of your network is the most important decision in planning your network, as it will influence all of your following decisions. So a local area network is usually implemented in a single office or a single building or a single site. So if it's a production site, you are connected, you know, within the site by the local area network. So local IT office within your organization as well as with the internet. So a LAN can also have access to the internet. Then you have the wide area network, WAN, what we call as. It connects a single office or a single building to a larger network, like the parent organization, as in our case, because the parent organization is in Europe and we have, you know, offices spread across the world and all of them are connected. So what you require in such a case is a WAN. So WAN links usually are maintained by ISPs. So internet service providers are the ones who provide this services, the linkages, because it requires very sophisticated equipments, etc., very high speed, high bandwidth lines, etc. Telecommunication companies and vary in terms of bandwidth and cost. So the higher the bandwidth you look for, you're looking for 100 Mbps line, then your cost could be different. And if you're looking at even higher bandwidth, then the cost of these services will be different. A campus area network, what we call as a CAN, connects multiple LANs within the same organization in close proximity. So you may have a large campus where there are multiple LANs, let's say in within the same campus you have a management school and you have a engineering or other faculties, which are located within the same campus. You may have LANs within the individual communities, but these can all be connected through the CAN, which is the campus area network. So you are still connected, and here also this kind of a solution is provided by the ISP or the telecom company. Some of the questions one need to have at planning stage of network requirement are: what network application do your users rely on the most, and how much bandwidth do your applications need? How many employees and therefore how many network devices do you have? Will this number change in the future? And how does your office layout impose any constraints on your planning if there is available room in your floors or ceilings to run the network cables? So looking at the first one, what are the softwares that you're going to be using, or what are the applications you're going to be using? So if you're going to use a network simply for data, then maybe you require a very basic kind of a network. But if you're going to use, let's say, video conferencing or audio conferencing, then the bandwidth you require will be much bigger. And especially in the current COVID times, you have a lot of classes, etc., which are being conducted on this video or audio conferencing applications. So your bandwidth will be decided by that. The number two point is how many users are going to be there. So whether it's a campus or it's a company, the number of employees, how many devices are connected. So it can be laptops, it can be personal computers, or it can be even your handheld devices, etc., which are going to use the network. And does your office have a layout which imposes any restrictions? That means you have space for running cables, etc. This used to be a constraint in the past. Today, if you look at in most of the organizations, you have the LAN connections, etc., which offer a better connectivity, but then you also have a Wi-Fi facility. And the Wi-Fi facility, even on campuses, etc., is available. So you are able to connect without any physical connections. So, but these need to be considered while you are working on your network requirement. What physical hardware and software components are needed to implement the network infrastructure that you are planning? So what kind of an interface will it have with the ISP or the telecom supplier? What is the kind of an infrastructure you will have within your premises? Whether you're going to have only a cable based network, or you're going to have also a Wi-Fi based network. Even if you're going to have a Wi-Fi, whether it's going to be simply for data in terms of speed, or you are going to require very high broad bandwidth. So all these will decide, you know, how many switches you require, if you require modems, you know, for the entire network to be set up, which will decide the cost. So what budget do you have available for the installation and maintenance of your network infrastructure? So if you have a small budget, then you may have to work with a very basic system with low bandwidth, etc. But if you have a sufficient budget, then you can have a very fancy kind of a system with very high bandwidth. You can have multiple people, large number of people doing a video conference or audio conference. And you know, you can also have the Wi-Fi system to support these solutions.